If we look back and go through the Old Testament with the kings, it amazes us that if it was a righteous king, the nation followed that righteousness. But if the next king decided to follow Baal, then immediately the high places, the worship of Baal, the Asherah, they all followed that. Now, not totally, but to the point that even Elijah didn't realize that there were 7,000 who were still obeying God in the midst of a nation that basically wasn't. Because the others had to pretty much hide out when they worshiped God, the true God. There were so few. And we like to think of ourselves, I like to think of myself, that I will follow God, not human beings. And yet I see back in worldwide that when the leader said you don't have to keep the Sabbath, you don't have to keep the holy days, it's okay to keep Christmas and Easter, what percent decided, okay, we'll just go along with that? I don't know what it is. It was far over half, probably over 70%. But it just amazed me. People that I knew that seemed extremely faithful, and they, instead of following the Bible, they followed what others were doing. And we find the same thing is true that, and it was true with me, we tend to follow the fashions of the time. There's, every now and then, people will make fun of old folks who don't follow fashion. They're using something, you know, when ties are wide, they still have narrow ties. When ties are narrow, they're still wide. Listen, I've been through narrow ties, wide ties, narrow ties, wide lapels. I went through thin lapels. And after a while, you realize it doesn't matter. It just does not matter. But we tend to follow what society does. And there are a few things that society does that have gotten to where nobody tends to care about it. It's not important to them. Not only in this nation, but in the world. I'll give you, to me, now I'm going to mention abortion, which to me is the most awful sin that is committed. I have said in the past that it's 1 million children, babies are aborted every year, and then I've learned recently it's very close to 1 million, but it's not quite 1 million most years. It's just under. And that's horrible. But there are two sins that basically the world agrees should not be done, and yet they don't mind doing it at all. And it's done commonly. And the one that I'm not going to give the sermon on, though, is taking God's name in vain. Now, when my kids were little, before they went to school, I taught them the S word and the F word because I knew they'd hear it in school, and I didn't want them to go to school. So I taught them the S word, and I said it. I didn't say S word. I said it. And I said, you know what it means? Poop. That's it. You're going to hear it. Kids are going to giggle. This is really exciting. What does it mean? Poop. That's it. So I did explain it. A lot of people couldn't explain the F word because they don't teach their kids about sex. I was in Murfreesboro some years ago, and I said, how many of you were taught about sex from your parents? You first heard about it from your parents. One person raised her hand. My daughter Debbie. That's it. Everybody else in that entire congregation learned about sex from somebody else other than their parents. So I knew I wanted to teach my children, and I taught them in our Friday night Bible study. Because you're supposed to teach your kids, thou shalt not commit adultery. But of course, people don't want to explain what that is. because they say, oh, they're too young to learn. So they learn it at school or from a neighbor. But that's not the one I want to get to. What happens is people, I could say, you hear all the time taking God's name in vain. And they think nothing of it. And the reason I bring up the F word and the S word, if you're watching TV during the day and somebody uses the S word or the F word, they'll bleep it out. But if somebody takes God's name in vain, you know, in extreme house makeover, and then they walk into this room, oh, and then they take God's name in vain. Then they go to the next room, and they take God's name in vain. And then they go to the next room. It's not bleeped out. That's far worse than the F word or the S word, taking our God's name in vain. But the other thing that is I do want to get to today, and that is if you watch a movie, you'll see that the bad guys tell lies. Do you see the good guys, even in a Disney movie, that they tell lies? Yes. The little kids who are the bad guys are usually an adult, and then the good guys are a group of kids, but they tell lies as much as the bad guys, but it was for a good purpose. Which reminds me, I was over in Springfield, Massachusetts one time at services. And after services, you know how you stand around and talk, and we were out in the hall. And this one man who had small children, we were standing there, a group of men, and he said, how can you stop your children from lying? He said, we used to tell them, now, if you tell a lie, we're going to have you stick out your tongue. And if you told a lie, there'll be black warts on it. Well, we all burst into laughter and tried to tell him, your kids are learning lies from you. But see, we think if a lie is, I say we, not you, but the nation, the world, if you tell a lie for a good reason, then it's okay. Now, the joke is, how do you know a politician is lying? His lips are moving. That's exactly right. Notice nobody said her lips are moving, but the same is true. I have Nixon's acceptance speech at home somewhere. Don't know where it is. I could have brought it and read some of the things in it. And you'd be amazed the promises that he made. It was his acceptance of the nomination in 1968, I think it was. And I remember watching it on TV. I mean, it really sounds good. To read that, it really sounds good. And a lot of promises were made that even if he wanted to keep, he couldn't have kept. Telling that the crime is at an end with him. That they're going to stop crime. Now that's a nice promise. And you can do certain things to try to hold it down, but you're not going to stop crime. But those are the things. Why does nobody complain? Because we want to believe. And the same thing is true when we listen to politicians on both sides of the aisle and the spectrum. And great promises are made. And you say, well, do people out there believe it? They would like to believe that it would happen. It sounds good. But that's what they want. We're going to have peace. We're going to have prosperity. The fact is, though, that this has become a world of liars. There's a big problem with lying. God never lies. But problems were started. Satan is the author of lying. He was a liar from the beginning. And think of all the trouble that has been caused by Satan and his lies. God cannot have a liar in his kingdom. If you and I are not capable of telling the truth, he cannot have us in his kingdom. He doesn't need another liar. Oh, by the way, I meant to say hello to all the people who are watching over the internet that are there. It may be even Stu Cameron from New Zealand. So he would have started watching at 7 a.m. Sunday morning, but he does watch. I used to turn you and watch you here. And when it was summer there and winter here, it was at 9 a.m., but now that it's summer here and winter there, it's 7 a.m. because of daylight. They went off daylight savings and we went on. So, Orin Mountain, if you're watching, Lou Fakuri and Herbert and Atha, if you're out there. I don't know, does Debbie Mitchell have a computer where she can watch, or does she just listen? Is she able to listen over the phone? Okay, hello, Debbie Mitchell. So, and anybody else in New Zealand might be watching. I want to take the title of this sermon just to remind you of the difficulty we face in telling the truth, all of us. My title is taken from Isaiah 59 and verse 14. And I'm going to read Isaiah 59. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. So, Isaiah 59. We look on, I say we, this world looks on lying as being so trivial. White lies. Well, that was just a little white lie. There is no white lie to God. We either tell the truth or we don't. We can tell children about, I mean, I realize that basically those of us here never told our children that bunnies laid eggs or that the tooth fairy left that money, or Santa Claus left those presents. Those are considered little white lies to children. You just tell the child a little lie, like stick out your tongue, and if you're not telling the truth, there'll be black warts. But that's teaching them that lying in some circumstances is okay. Lying in circumstances is not okay. By the way, if any of you are from going to be in Murfreesboro next week, you're going to get, you needed this twice. I didn't realize you had that problem, but I want to start in Isaiah 59, verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 15. God can do anything. God can save. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Then he begins to list. Now, number one is something that you and I don't think you've ever done. I certainly haven't. For your hands are defiled with blood. Well, our nation certainly has a problem with it. And your fingers with iniquity. Notice what he throws in with bloodshed. Your lips have spoken lies. That's thrown right in with murder. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for the truth. I'll tell you when most people of wisdom finally decide to tell the truth when they're being deposed by the FBI. A lot of times this happened with Watergate and Nixon. It wasn't the burglary that caused the problem. It was the lies involved in the cover-up. I'm not saying that those men who were involved in it wasn't really a true burglary. It was going in and planting listening devices and things like that, and maybe taking a few papers. So it wasn't like they were taking anything of any intrinsic value, but it was the cover-up and the lies that got them in trouble. That's the reason Bill Clinton was impeached. Now, impeached doesn't mean removed. It means indicted. The reason he was not impeached, that he was impeached, is for what he said under oath, not for his problem with Monica Lewinsky. There you go. Yeah, not for anything he did with women. It was for the lie under oath. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. These are things that have separated us from God and the reason he doesn't answer our prayers. Now, I'm not saying for you, I'm saying in general. And I think we've gotten to the end of the time when God is a little slower because he was answering prayers all the time back in the 50s and 60s. But he requires more now. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. He's talking about the way we live, not literal viper's eggs, snake eggs. Talking about the way we tend to live. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments. That is, all the things that we do are just like weaving webs, but spider's webs. Nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. So this is a general indictment of all of society. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, even thinking sin. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. Now we're trying to have peace, and there are so many places on this earth where there's so much suffering from war. Yemen, Syria, Central African Republic. I mean, terrible things have gone on in North Korea, the way people have been treated. Terrible concentration camps where people are just routinely killed. The way of peace they have not known, and there's no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. It's like the way we live is a crooked path. Therefore, justice is far from us. They have these groups that try to go through, and Innocence Project, others, trying to find people who have been falsely indicted and falsely convicted. The fact is, it does seem as if there are district attorneys who make their name by a conviction. They need convictions. There's a crime. The police and the district attorney need to solve that crime. But sometimes they will throw people in jail who are totally innocent. Interesting, Gary Petty was talking to the ladies, and I was invited. So I was there. It was at my house for the Proverbs 31 discussion that they had. And he brought out that God said that you could not convict anyone on the witness of just one person. It had to be at least two or three. Now, why would it be two or three? Because sometimes even listening to two people saying the same thing, you might question their veracity. So sometimes it required at least three persons. But you'd say, well, it's unfair. And there's this Me Too movement, which is good that it's more than one woman who's bringing this up. But there have been people convicted and years ago hanged on the witness of one woman saying, this man raped me. And in God's law, first of all, you notice there are no prisons. There was nothing in Israel that was that if somebody did something, they went to prison. If you go through the laws that God gave and what the punishment would be, if there was stealing, it was paying it back four or five times. But there was no stay in prison for so many years. So prison wasn't a problem. But there were stripes laid, but then the person got up and walked off, if he could walk, or carried by his family. If something was done, it was either the guy died, he got stripes, or he was fined. And that was it. But if one person said something, you could not convict. Now let me just tell you, I have known of cases in the church where someone came and said, so-and-so did this to me. It was of a sexual nature. And it was not a woman, it was a man. A man against a man. And Roy Holiday and I absolutely believed the man. But it was one word, one person's word against another. And we believed the guy who was making the accusation. I mean, it was too detailed and everything else. And he was so upset that we said to him, we cannot do anything because God said two or three witnesses. And Gary Petty brought out, in God's law, it is worse to convict an innocent man than to let a guilty man go free. Because a guilty man will not eventually go free. God will take care of him. But to him, it was worse to send an innocent man to whatever conviction you had. So God's, even if it was true, if it was just one person, you could not convict. You could not convict. Later we found another person who brought out the same accusation against that same man, but that man had gone with a different group and left United. So when finally the first man, the man who was guilty, died, and I called the man who had made the original accusation, and I said, we believed you, but we couldn't even tell you we believed you. Because then you'd call everybody and say, well, Mr. Keller's, Mr. Holiday, believe me. All right. So, I mean, you don't always get a conviction in this life. You always will get justice. Because God, notice what God, justice is far from us. That's in this nation. That's in this world. You're not going to always get justice. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We accept the fact that people are going to lie. We accept the fact that politicians are going to lie. We accept the fact that lawyers are going to stand up and say, my client is innocent, even if he knows the client is not innocent. That's what lawyers are paid to do. They're supposed to represent somebody. The lawyer is not necessarily there to seek the truth. He's there to represent his client. So, right, we look for light, there's darkness. Brightness, we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight, we are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you. God looks down and he sees a totally sinful society. And our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. We know what's going on in this world. In transgressing and lying. In this world, we look on lies unless you're under oath. Being deposed by a federal authority, you can get away with all the lies you want. Now, you can get sued for slander if it's something that somebody can take you. That's not a criminal matter. That's a civil. That's in civil court. You can be taken for slander if you say something against somebody that they can say, this has harmed me. And you can stand up and tell all the lies you want, and there's no law against it. Same way, you can stand up and have all the hate speech you want. You can't do that in Australia and New Zealand. You can't have hate speech. We're free to stand up and say, I hate so-and-so, and get away with it. But lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. That is, convincing ourselves. We are so determined by this lie that we convince ourselves. And uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back. And righteousness stands afar off. And here's the title of my sermon. For truth is fallen in the street. Truth is fallen in the street. We live in a nation that has no high regard for truth. We would nominate, when is the last person you know who ran for president or was elected that had a high regard for truth? I'm not here attacking Bill Clinton or our present president or the previous president or any of them. How many of them would you say had high regard for truth? Richard Nixon? You know, in many ways, he was a shrewd and wise politician in some of the things he did. Although, on the other hand, those who look back fondly, he's the one who removed us from the gold standard and brought China into prominence. And people look back and say, well, I wish we had never done that. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. Truth in this world fails. And we are washed in lies and deception. I say it's like being washed in the mud. It's just all around us. We are bombarded with it. And it's so easy for anybody to say, well, it's no big deal. Kind of like two people now decide to move in and live together without getting married. And who gets upset about that? I mean, if you were to get upset with that, you'd be upset all the time. There was a time when people would have looked down on that. Not anymore. And the same is with truth. truth is just not held up as being all that valuable. Truth fails. And he who departs from evil, as the person who's involved in that and then says, no, I'm going to be telling the truth, makes himself a prey. The man who is in a gang and decides, I'm going to go straight. The man who is involved in selling drugs and says, I'm going to quit selling drugs, makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. We'll go through several verses in Jeremiah. So shall you say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished. There was a time when a man's word was his bond. Now that was not every man, but that was a lot of men and women. By the way, who is the most likely to be telling the truth? In this, they've done studies of going around which demographic tells the most truth. Old women. Old women tend to be the most truthful. Norma's smiling. She's our senior in this congregation. So, truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Now, chapter 9, Jeremiah 9, we'll read the first 9 verses. Jeremiah 9, it's just so easy. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears. He just felt so bad. Poor Jeremiah lived in a nation that was going down, that's going to be destroyed. He was telling them the truth. He was telling them that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come, that they were not going to escape because they had turned. Here, he had known Josiah, a righteous king, but Josiah had died. And the nation went right down the toilet, right down the tubes after the death of Josiah. And they followed evil kings, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah. Oh, he says, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. That is what he knew was coming. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. It is common to hear of our rulers, our leaders, our presidents, our governors cheating on their wives. Leading men on TV. Some of it is just incredible, amazing, the things that they would do. Just, it was kind of like it was, they were constantly looking for someone to cheat with. They're all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. It's like taking a bow and putting an arrow in it and bending it and just shooting out lie after lie after lie. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. Very few people are absolutely valiant for the truth. That the truth is always on their tongue. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. That is, don't believe, basically, any neighbor, or anybody, or even your brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. Lying has got to be the usual way. It's not looked down on. And they have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. We live in the middle of deceit. Isn't that the thought? We live in deceit, a deceitful nation. A nation that doesn't follow up, says one thing, does something else. The day when a man's word is his bond is long gone. Let me tell you, we tell people in the church, when they're doing business with each other, put it in writing. Now, that's sad. But we have found through experience, people come say, well, he said this, he said this, he said this, he said this. And we say, listen, when my house was built, it was built by my son. And I wrote out a contract. That way we remember. Well, here it is, black and white. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. I'm not saying David's filled with deceit. All of us hear one thing. I mean, even my mind can go off and think one thing happened and then something else, it turns out. For instance, I used to say I've always been skinny. And even when I gained weight, I had skinny arms, skinny legs, skinny except a gut right here. I had a nice fat gut. And I used to tell people, well, Debbie says I look like a toothpick with an olive, my daughter. And Debbie said, Dad, I'm not the one that said that. You first said it. And I thought, I first said that? It just, my brain was telling me Debbie said it. It sounds like something she would say, doesn't it? You know Debbie. Or maybe you're thinking, no, sounds more like Melissa. But Debbie said, no, Dad, you came up with that. And I stopped and I thought, you know, I got to be careful. My brain, my memory is not perfect. And it's so easy to take something we believe and say it as fact. But I believed she said it. So I wasn't deliberately lying. My brain had failed me. So I have to be very careful what I say. We live in the middle of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. Now, that's not going to be always a very easy thing when God refines us. For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. as we speak evil against. Don't you notice? And it is true that when Bill Clinton did some things in Afghanistan, when he increased troop levels, that was promoted by conservatives, and he did it, they would never say anything nice about him. And if Trump does something that the Democrats wanted, they'll never say anything nice about him. Now, there's enough with any human being to pick on without picking on them even when they're doing something you wanted them to do, but we're just against the other side. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It's just snipe, snipe, snipe. Look for loose bricks. Look for problems. We've had people do that with United Church of God. And not people in United, people who left United Church of God, who go through everything we have looking for something that they can pick on or twist. We've had that happen. We got to be careful we don't do that. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. We don't want to look at other church groups looking for fault. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Sometimes these groups find where politicians go up and shake hands. Politicians from one nation shake hands with another, and then they find, then somebody reveals some email that one of them sent telling how bad the other person is. But of course, they were there shaking hands and smiling, and we love you, and we're friends, and all of this, and then they send out an email. I had to speak about something sensitive with another minister, and I said, I wanted to call you. This is Gary. I called him. He asked me about something, and I said, I want to call you. I called him, said, I don't want to put this in an email. It's sensitive. And it was something he needed to know. But it wasn't anything really bad about anybody in the church. But anyway, I talked to him. If you have something you don't want to be on a website, don't put it in an email. Don't ever hit send. If it's okay if it goes on a website, you can hit send. Because we can speak peaceably, but in the heart lies for wait. We shouldn't be that. We can speak peaceably, but we shouldn't be attacking behind somebody's back. But that's the way this nation, this world is. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. I want to read a couple of verses, and I pray about this. I ask God to help me. Gary Petty and I were talking on the phone, and I mentioned to him things he and I have said before. I'd like for God to put a funnel in the top of my head and pour in faith, humility, love, you know, all of the fruits of the Spirit. I'd like him to just, patience. I always thought I was a patient man until the last couple of years. And now I'm impatient. I'm having to learn patience. I can look forward to eternity with people that I've lost. But I want it today. And I'd like God just to pour in patience. I'd like him to do all of that. But that's not the way he does it. He lets us, he does fill us, he lives within us, but he lets us go through things that cause us to have to build faith and humility and patience and love. And here's something I pray for. John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then he says similar in verse 17, John chapter 1, verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses." We love the law. We love the Sabbath. We love the holy days. We love the law that says, "Thou shalt not kill." We love all of that. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And I pray and ask God to fill me with grace and truth. I ask, the psalm says, "Put a watch about my tongue." And I ask God to put a watch about my tongue to guide me into truth. And grace and truth, Jesus Christ, God the Father, they are filled with grace and truth. Grace means more. When I first came in the church, I thought the word grace just meant forgiveness. It means much more. I gave a sermon on grace. In Peter, it says, grow in grace and truth. Grow in grace and knowledge, I mean. And how do you grow in grace? Well, grace is a very broad subject. But the point today is truth. And that is, God is full, and Jesus Christ, they are full of grace and truth. We have to fight to always tell the truth. It is not in human nature. We have Satan's nature and Satan's wavelength. And lying is just so natural and easy. It seems funny when they have the videos of these little children. They're covered with chocolate all over their face. And Daddy says, "Did you eat that chocolate?" "No." "You didn't eat that chocolate?" "No." And there's just chocolate all over the face. And that's so funny. Of course, it's a lie. Let me just tell you, Lucretia and I, if there was a lie, we spanked. I hate to say this with her here. I can't ever remember Melissa telling a lie. Now, she got upset at lying. Do you remember when we were on that trip, David and I were playing bowl card game, and she had tears coming down her face? And it's a card game that you bluff. It's called bowl. And you put down cards face down, and you say what they are, but maybe it isn't. So that's the card game. So we're playing bowl, and she had tears to her mother. "Mommy, they're lying." Okay. Maybe that's a game you shouldn't play. Oh. But otherwise, they got spanked. Seriously, for lying. We would not have videoed it, because we didn't have video back then, and then laughed about it. That was serious, telling lies. What? Look at my watch. I want to just mention a verse that you all know very well that we read before Days of Unleavened Bread, where it talks about keeping the feast. 1 Corinthians 5. "Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness." No need to turn to this. You know this so well. "But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Part of the feast of being flat. The idea is that leavened bread, now it's nothing wrong with leavened bread, but it looks big and you can squish it down. It's like a lie in that sense. It just looks big. Then you can press it down. And it's fine to eat puffy bread the rest of the year. But in a sense, the idea is it's phony. It's not really that much bread. It's mostly air. It's mostly gas inside. So we are to have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so we have to be filled with truth and not puffed up. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Here is a verse that is very important for you and me. And let me tell you, in order to tell the truth, just like saying that Debbie's the one who said I looked like a toothpick with an olive on it, and I was wrong. Now, I wasn't deliberately lying, but it wasn't truth. I have to stop. Since I have been thinking more and more when I say something. Now, is that something that I absolutely know or just something I believe? All right, if it's something I believe, then I can say that's something I believe. I shouldn't say that's what it is. Okay, it's so-and-so. Wait, maybe I should say I think it's so-and-so. But I have to be careful to separate them. It's hard to do. If I believe something, it's easy to say, well, so-and-so. Instead of saying, you know, I think so-and-so. You believe everything that you believe, or you would have believed something else. Let's face it. All of my opinions I think are true. If I didn't think they were true, that wouldn't be my opinion. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the coward... Let me go back. When I go before God's throne in His kingdom, for millions of years, I had best not give Him my opinion as being definite. I had best say, Father, this is my opinion. And I've thought, I may go to God in His kingdom and ask Him to do something. And I've told Lucretia this years ago. And I'd say, we may have to wait millions of years to get our request answered. What if we go to God and we say, Father, I'd like so-and-so. And He says, okay, we're going to do that, but not yet. And then He makes us wait a million years. We have to learn patience now, so that we can prove to Him that when the kingdom comes, if He postpones something that we've asked for, we'll accept it. And when we go to Him, everything we have to say, we say to anybody, to any other person, any angel, is absolutely the truth. Revelation 21, verse 8. At least then our minds will be clearer. I think we'll have a better understanding of what is actual instead of fleshly minds, spiritual brains. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There will be people who have never murdered, who have overcome stealing, or maybe never stole, never committed adultery, but end up in the lake of fire because they couldn't learn to overcome lies. Couldn't learn to be filled with grace and truth. Well, that scares me. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. All liars. That goes along with Proverbs 12, verse 19. Proverbs 12, verse 19. It is an effort for human beings to be truthful. First of all, there are times we don't even know what the truth is. We think something is true. We have to be very careful. And it's not easy. It's not something that we can master right away. It takes time. God has to help us. I'd like for him to just put the funnel in and put in grace and truth. The truthful lip shall be established forever. God wants people who tell the truth. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now, that moment may be 100 years, but it's only a moment. If we say something, it should be the truth. If we give our word, it should be the truth. That is a struggle for everybody. It's why I pray, Father, put a watch about my lip, just like the psalmist said. And then verse 22, Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. I want to go to Ephesians 4 and finish up in Ephesians 4. First of all, in Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Appreciate my mother. I'd given sermons on telling the truth. I can remember I was a grown man, 4 children. She was elderly. I'd been in the ministry many, many years, and I can remember my mother. This is what they said, who tells the most truth? All women. My mother saying, now, Fred, always tell the truth. Aren't mothers wonderful? I know tomorrow's Father's Day. But in my mind, my fathers are wonderful, and mothers are just a little more, or a whole lot more wonderful. Mothers are the second most wonderful thing God made on earth. Babies, number one. Mothers, number two. Let me tell you, in my opinion, for the average one of us, no one will ever love you as much as your mother. I loved Lucretia more than life, but I don't think I loved her as much as her mother who brought her forth. I just don't think it's possible to love someone more than a really good mother. I know when we buried my mother, I thought the human being who loved me the most is going down in the ground here. They're wonderful. My mother said, Fred, I loved it. I loved it that my mother, still, grown man with children who had taught his children the truth, had never lied to them about Santa Claus and all that. And my mother is saying, now, Fred, always, I mean, she was serious, like I was a liar or something. And Fred always told the truth. She was, don't forget your mother's commands. Mothers are wonderful. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. And I want to go down very quickly to verse 25, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another.